Have you ever wondered why so-called best management practice produces mediocre results? What if a team wanted to do something truly spectacular? What if it wanted to make a real impact? In her new book, Spiral Up and Other Management Secrets Behind Wildly Successful Initiatives, Dr. Jane Linder argues that if you want to work wonders, you've got to abandon the accepted, linear, day-by-day management mindset and step into the real world. It's anything but mechanical. Jane Linder is president of the Progress Board, LLC, a consulting company that specializes in helping clients put good ideas to work. Dr. Linder has been a professor at Harvard Business School and has spent more than a decade as an executive in the technology industry. Her articles have appeared in Harvard Business Review, MIT Sloan Management Review, and Across the Board, among others. And she is the author of Outsourcing for Radical Change. Welcome to the program, Jane.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Jane, actually, before we get started with this list of a couple questions that I have here, I'm just a little curious. I did read the better part of the book, and I found it fascinating. Is it right to call this approach that you put forth in the book actually a system? I mean, can you describe the Spiral Up management system?
Actually, that word system doesn't really strike quite the right chord. It evokes images of machines and systematic activities and pulleys and levers and so forth. And that's really not what we have here. The Spiral Up approach is a much more organic or dynamic approach with a lot of interaction among the various aspects of it. When you're thinking about how to communicate something like this, you're always trying to break it down into pieces so that people can get a grip on what you're talking about. But in this case, whenever I started to write about the various aspects of the approach, I found myself not wanting to use the word component or element or even aspect because they're really much more interrelated dynamics. It really goes to how I ended up writing about this topic in the first place. One of the things that I've been struck by about business initiatives, organizational initiatives, is how unlikely they are to succeed, how desperately mediocre they are on average. When you look around the organizational landscape, you find people who are smart and well-intentioned and hardworking and disciplined and really pretty good at what they do. And I just don't get that. I don't understand how you could take such a solid group of people and then look at the results of what they've done and have it turn out to be 50%, 40%, 35%, achieving what they set out to do. I mean, the numbers are terrible. I just find that extremely interesting. So I started to put together a book proposal about that topic, and I talked to a very good friend of mine who tells me the truth, which is really important. And I said, well, what do you think of this idea? And he said, it's really interesting. It's a really good idea to find out more about that, but nobody will want to read it. We live with failure every day. We don't want to read more about it. So I said, well, okay. Took that advice on board, and I said, what can I do with that? So I flipped it upside down, and I said, well, if people don't want to read about failure, let's look at the opposite to that. Let's look at what's wildly successful out there in organizations, and maybe we can find some common themes or common views of what people are doing that's just terribly effective, and then we'll learn something from that. So that's how I got started on Wildly Successful.
It's interesting. The book is sort of equal portions of practical approaches and common sense stuff, but I have to admit it was fairly inspirational, in particular the story of the oil refinery. I found to be here people who took a personal interest, a life interest in salvaging and enhancing and improving and optimizing this plant. I can't even say it bordered on inspiration. It was very inspirational. I'm curious here, do you think anyone can manage in a spiral up way?
Yes, I do. I think some people, especially people who are maybe experienced in what I call good management practice, really get out of the habit. They get their mindset stuck in this just don't fail kind of management. And it's legitimate, and it's good, and it's what people expect, and there's no critique of it other than the fact that it usually doesn't work very well. So what happens when you get into that routine, you begin to think that's the only way. I believe those people could work in a wildly successful way, but they would need a significant emotional event to convince them that there was another approach. I think we can do a service to the people that are working in business and in government in terms of their approaches and their mindsets. What we can do is just let them know that there is this other approach, that they probably have used it somewhere in their life, with their families or their church or their soccer team or whatever they've done. And they ought to just remind themselves that it's a legitimate choice and that they know how to do it if they would just allow themselves to get their mindset unstuck from what they think of as good management practice. So to answer your question, yes, I think anybody can do it.
And what do you think are the primary obstacles to thinking in the spiral up way or managing the spiral up way?
We just mentioned one of them, and that is that people get to very good positions in organizations, both business and government, with this good management, just don't fail kind of approach. So they get stuck, really, in thinking that that's the only way. I did a piece of research with Rob Cross not too long ago about energy. And one of the things you find, if you ask people who gives you energy and who doesn't in your organization, you'll find that as you go further up in the organization, the answers are that those people are less likely to give you energy further up you go, which is a fairly damning, I think, condemnation of what it takes to become a senior executive. So what that speaks to is how people get stuck. They get tied into this, quote, good management practice, which really has nothing to do with energizing people and becoming wildly successful. It has only to do with driving control and making sure you don't fail. So I think that's one obstacle, this sort of mind-numbing acceptance of that approach as the only way, especially in senior levels. And what happens, this is a second obstacle, what happens when people in the organization who maybe haven't gotten to that level and therefore aren't quite that stuck decide that they're going to try something slightly different, the senior people can sabotage and undermine them. So it's not only that they're not going to use that approach themselves, it's that they're not going to admit that other people in the organization can use it either. And we have one example in the book of a fellow called the Sphincter, who sees it as his job to choke off funding and resources for anything new and interesting. So that's another obstacle. A third obstacle is what I'll call organizational attention span. You know how it goes. You're working on a project in an organization, and if it starts to linger on after a year or 2 years, people decide that it isn't going to go anywhere, it's not going to work, and they start to distance themselves from it. And, of course, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. What happens in wildly successful initiatives is they just don't get done in a year or 2 years. They seem to go on for a very long time. And it's quite remarkable. You see the same people involved in a single initiative for 10 years or 15 years. I mean, it's truly remarkable. Now, isn't always that way. I mean, sometimes these folks will hand off to other people, and that's another gracious aspect of a wildly successful initiative, that the champions are willing to share their children with other folks for the good of the child, so to speak, of the initiative, of the thing they're trying to get done. But this organizational attention span, I think, can be a big obstacle. And then another one that's worth talking about is the tyranny of ego, I'll call it. That some people, sometimes entrepreneurs, sometimes business leaders, will feel that they really have all the right ideas. And then if they're not in control of something, if they're not coming up with a way to do things, it's not going to happen right. And wildly successful initiatives are a team sport. And people that can't work collectively just don't seem to be able to participate very well.
The name of the book is Spiral Up, and the author is Dr. Jane Linder. Jane, thanks for being with us here today.
It's great to talk with you.
Now it's time for You've Been Spotted, where we interview random people who are attending a workshop or seminar at one of our 5 executive conference centers. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website at www.amanet.org. Take it away, Kevin.
I'm here in the classroom for AMA's course, Communicating Up, Down, and Across the Organization. I'm talking to participants about how they achieve lasting results and grow their influence through communication.
I'm logistics manager with BIC Corporation. I'm responsible for customer service and transportation for North America. And I do have responsibility for freight coming in from Mexico, so there is a lot of international as well. So my role going up and across is not only up within my organization, but now I'm crossing international borders as well. And dealing with people that are presumed at my level in my organization, maybe 2 or 3 levels above in another organization, even though it's BIC, but in another country. So when I'm communicating to someone I perceive as a peer, they are actually 2 to 3 levels above me in BIC Mexico or in France or in Asia. So it's become critical to understand how to communicate across and above and know your audience.
I actually have a current situation where I'm dealing with now where I'm helping to develop a new CRM system, which is for our client relations management system tools. And my part is to help kind of get the end users to kind of buy in to the overall structure of it, as well as to give their input so that what we get is actually what we need. So a lot of what I have to do is be the liaison between the consultants, the IT, senior management, everyone on every level, to kind of make sure that all of everyone's needs are met, and then that my true underlying goal is really what's accomplished. And that's to make sure that we have a streamlined system.
I think I've taken from this class so far the concept and the skill of understanding your audience, knowing who you're talking to, doing your homework first in order to make sure that you can actually build a rapport and get that effective communication across in as efficient and quick a manner as you possibly can. So learning to read your audience a little bit better.
This course is really, for me, it's getting to know your audience and adjusting midstream in a meeting. A lot of times I have a tendency to be very aggressive. Not just assertive, but aggressive. When I feel confident in my topic and the point that I want to get across, I go right at it and I make that point. And what I'm learning in this course is you have to read off body language, facial expressions. You also have to slow down and pause and ask open-ended questions. And more importantly for me, probing questions, because that slows down the pace and it opens it up. And then you understand really what the goal is of your audience instead of just your own personal goal.
One of the focuses I liked was the Pygmalion method of doing the expectation and encouragement. And actually, I got to use it right away because I had an issue back at the office. I immediately jumped on with that tool and it seemed to work effectively. So I'll go back Monday and see how it really pans out.
It's personality driven. It's also position driven. So we've been dealing with sort of the above, across, and below levels. And so depending on where they sit in that level will depend on how you're addressing your message and whether you're using a direct approach or an indirect approach and those types of things that we've been learning.
Remember, we love to get your feedback. So please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org. Or call us at 800-697-3406. That number again is 800-697-3406. One of our listeners will receive either a $200 discount on an AMA seminar or a free copy of Jane Linder's book, Spiral Up. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.